Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Manny Navarro is there. He's a columnist and the Miami Hurricanes beat writer for The Athletic. And we still don't know about Jalen Hurts yet, do we? Right? He was.
I haven't heard anything.
Visiting. He was at Prime 112. You were a little angry when we talked with Gino Toretta yesterday. He's like, $20 was my visit limit.
Listen, I don't want to call the NCAA, but I don't know a meal at Prime 112 for $40.
I think it's a little bit different nowadays. Let's ask Manny Navarro from The Athletic. Hello, Manny.
What's going on, fellas?
Is that the new norm where you take a potential recruit, a potential transfer to like the most expensive steakhouse in your city?
Hey, man, that's been going on for years. Did you read my Willie Williams diaries back in the day?
Willie Williams, was he ever eligible? He lost all his eligibility doing Willie Williams things.
Right, he did something else for that, but yeah, man. I mean, steak, lobster. I mean, that's the way they live, don't they?
Man, that's a good selling point for the University of Miami, right? You take them to Prime 112. Anybody who's anybody is there. What is the chance on Jalen Hurts?
Well, everything I heard the other night when I was talking to some people internally was they really feel this is like a 50-50 thing. I think 50 of it is Miami, 50 of it is Oklahoma. I think those were sort of the two leaders in the clubhouse. And then it's just a matter of, you know, where he feels like he can do his most damage and help himself get into the NFL. I think, obviously, at Oklahoma, you've produced two Heisman Trophy winners in that offense there with Lincoln Riley and you know, guys that have certainly gotten a lot of hype and recognition. And here at Miami, you know, it's been quite the opposite of late. Obviously, he knows Dan Enos and he knows how much he's helped them. But you look at this roster compared to Oklahoma's, and Oklahoma's obviously in a better position to win. So right now, I think, you know, I'd personally call Oklahoma the leader in the clubhouse, but, I wouldn't rule out Miami at all. I think the fact that Enos has helped him progress so much as a quarterback and really improve, I think he's certainly weighing that as a reason why to come here.
And, Manny, we already heard, you know, rumors that Jaren Williams was thinking about transferring. Now if you bring in a guy that's coming in to start, he's not coming as a grad transfer to sit behind anybody. Does that encourage in either of those young guys, Nicosi or Jaren, to transfer?
Of course. I mean, I think nowadays that's the thing to do. If you're a quarterback and you're not playing, you transfer. That's what all of them do. I just think, you know, look, these guys are going to go into spring football. They're going to compete. They're going to try to prove to Dan Enos why they should start. But you're right. I think if Jalen Hurts comes here, the writing's on the wall for those two guys, at least for the 2019 season. Is it a smart thing to transfer when a graduate transfer is coming in and you're still only a redshirt freshman? I'd say no, because odds are anywhere else you go, you won't see the field immediately anyway. Who knows? I mean, a lot of this is ego, man. A lot of this is guys just feeling like they need to be treated like a king or the starter or whatever you want to call it. And in the end, if another quarterback comes in, it could damage the egos of these guys, and that's why they decide to leave. And you know what? It's fine. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there. Dan Enos has been recruiting guys to Alabama. I'm sure he's going to recruit somebody in the class of 2020 for Miami.
And a bigger picture on, you know, I don't want to say accepting grad transfers, but building your team through that, does that kind of give you a cloud over your organization, knowing that, hey, at any moment this team is going to bring in grad transfers that'll start over a guy that's been here 3 years grinding?
I think it's just the way the new college football is going to look, man. I think, you know, this NCAA transfer portal, which basically launched in October, I think it's the beginning of college football free agency, really. I mean, you know, before guys would invest time and energy into a school and they said, well, I'm not going to leave. I've already been here too long. I want to graduate. I want to get to the NFL. Nowadays, I think guys are going to be making decisions a lot earlier, right after their freshman year, right after their sophomore year, and jumping in and trying to get waivers so that they can play somewhere else. And so what I'm interested to see now, Channing, is what's going to happen in the future as far as waivers and what guys are sort of given a break for, you know, and I think if there's a roadmap to figuring out, hey, this is what the NCAA is going to give me a waiver for, you're going to see guys using that excuse more so they don't have to sit out a year when they transfer.
Yeah, I think what happens is stuff, it becomes the norm and you kind of see it happening. I remember with the NBA, it was like, wait a second, they're taking a night off because they're playing a back-to-back? That doesn't make sense. And then all of a sudden, now you look at the schedule when it comes out and you're like, okay, he probably won't play this night, that night, that night. It just becomes the norm. I think you're right. College free agency is upon us.
But how much tougher does that make coaching when just this guy gets upset he leaves? This
oh, my
guy,
God.
You can't build a team that way.
It takes away a lot of the power from the coach, doesn't it? Because the power that
Absolutely.
You have, hey, you're a starter or you're not a starter, you got to play your ass off. No, I'm just not here anymore. So yeah. You're like, and then you've got to hit a home run on your quarterback or else you're sunk.
Well, what this means is what Manny Diaz talked about the other day about re-recruiting his own players. I mean, that's what you're going to have to do constantly is re-recruit your own players on the roster and continue to tell them, hey, if you work hard, this job can be yours. And it's just a matter of motivating guys, not just the guys that you're recruiting every single year out of high school, but the guys on your roster. So it's going to be tricky. It's going to be messy here in the early going. And I know some college football fans that might get turned off by the whole thing or be scared about it. But like you said, Hawk, I think in a couple of years, this is just going to be the norm. We're going to sort of expect it to be this way.
Manny Navarro is with us. You could read his work at The Athletic. Jeff Thomas, he flirted with coming back to UM, ultimately decided not to. What happened there?
Well, I think ultimately the Hurricanes decided as a team that, they didn't want him back. I think Manny Diaz has sort of come out and over the last couple of days since Sunday night and, you know, having those guys come out to WWE, wrestling mats and all that, which is quite entertaining. I think he's delivered this message of, hey, we've got a vision for the future of this program, and this is the kind of attitude we want you guys to carry. And I think ultimately Jeff was given no guarantees that he would be welcome back and be able to play right away. He'd probably be suspended for a game or two for basically being dismissed from the team. And I think he wasn't cool with any of that. And in the end, he realized the more sure thing for him was going to Illinois. And so that's why he ultimately decided to go back up to Illinois.
And, Manny, I was talking about when Jalen was coming in, and, I'm the Gator. Everybody wants to kill me. But I don't know how talented UM is. I don't know if, you're coming in like Jalen Hurts. Is he coming in with a bunch of talent around him? So I want to ask you, like Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, we'll do the, college football playoff teams. Their talent is 10 out of 10. Between 1 through 10, they're 10 out of 10. Where does Miami fall between 1 through 10 when you talk about just pure talent on the roster?
Yeah. It's funny you ask me that because I did some research on that at the end of the season, just looking to see how many like 4- and 5-star recruits were on the roster at all those schools that you mentioned. And you're right. I think, there's no doubt that the Ohio States, the Georgias, the Alabamas, and Clemsons are all, much more loaded than Miami is. But I'd say the next tier are where Miami, Florida, Texas, teams like that's where they're located. FSU, they're all in that sort of next tier where they've got between, 36 and 40, 4- and 5-star recruits on the roster. So I'd say Miami's talent right now is comparable to what Florida has. With a starting quarterback like Jalen Hurts, come August 31st, to me that levels the playing field in that game.
How do you like the staff that Manny Diaz has put together?
So far, I like it. I mean, I think Enos is a really good quarterbacks coach, a guy who obviously has had success making quarterbacks a lot better, and that's the biggest problem this team has right now. They need to come in and really work with Jaron and Nikosi and the guys that they have on the roster and make them better, and then go out and recruit better talent. If Jalen Hurts comes in, obviously right away in 2019, I think the expectations for this team change. So I like the Enos hire. I thought the hire of Blake Baker as defensive coordinator was a really smart move. I mean, he basically replaced Manny at Louisiana Tech, ran the same exact defense, had success there, and has been sort of been groomed by Manny to be the guy. And, Manny's whole thought process throughout all of this is, I always want to have assistant coaches, position coaches, who are being groomed to be coordinators, because the world of college football is real simple. When you have success, your coordinators get hired away to be head coaches elsewhere. So for sustained success, you gotta have guys sort of waiting in the wings, and I think Manny's certainly hired two really good coordinators to groom the position coaches behind them.
Manny Navarro. Again, you can read his work at The Athletic. He's a columnist. He covers the Hurricanes. You give up your Netflix subscription and you get a subscription to The Athletic. You don't have to sit through Bird Box. There's nothing that The Athletic will put out that's worse than Bird Box. So you're already ahead of the game if you get yourself a subscription. You've covered, we've talked with you for years, you've covered so many press conferences in your tenure as a writer. Have you seen anything like Adam Gase's press conference yesterday in New York with the eyes darting all over the place? Like, have you seen something like that?
I just wonder if the reason he's been wearing that hat on the sideline for so many years and in the press conference is because he didn't want us to see his eyes sort of dance around. It was so weird. I felt like I was watching a cartoon. It almost looked like Roger Rabbit or something. Like, there was something.
Yeah, where the
animated.
Eyes were popping out of his head.
Right. It just totally freaked me out. And I've been laughing all day at all the little memes that have been created. I saw one on there that was sort of a Curb Your Enthusiasm with the little music in the background. And it's hysterical.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And we were talking, Crowder and I were talking, like, you have one objective at an introductory press conference. One objective. That's to sell yourself and get the fan base excited about you and the future. And he failed.
Yeah, I it was just a really weird press conference. And you know, the fact that people are still laughing about it a day later and joking about it, it's not good for Adam Gase. Hopefully he wins to sort of make people forget about that. Although down here, nobody wants to see the Jets win. So
yeah, I think this is a great harbinger of not winning. I think this is great. I'm very excited about it. All right. Manny Navarro, again, read his work in The Athletic. We always appreciate you making time for us. Somebody texts in, question for your guest. Did Mark Richt give up? Can you answer that quickly?
I would say Mark Richt quit because he didn't want to have to fire his coaching staff. And I think ultimately having to go through that process with his son was something that he just didn't want to do.
And the way that he did it, both Crowder and I maintain, I think, was pretty stand up, right? He didn't hold the university hostage.
That's correct. And certainly he, I know that he endorsed Manny Diaz to replace him. And there may have been some money left on the table in some regard to make sure that Manny got that job. So I think Mark Richt walked away wanting Miami to be in a better position and just not wanting to be the bad guy and having to fire a bunch of his friends.
Did Adam Gase win the eye test? Thank you. Thank you, Manny. And we appreciate everyone coming out. Manny Navarro from The Athletic. See you, Manny.
See you, boys.
Manny Navarro from The Athletic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.